on the cross, when they were spoken from the depths of his humanity, we know that he understood the very depths of vulnerability, rejection, and isolation when he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He knew what it meant to be abandoned, friendless in the garden and on the cross. And to some small degree, it is our own experience at the moment, isn't it, that many are in that place of vulnerability as we are locked down from our regular social interaction. We're asking questions about what's next, what to do, where to go. And as we think about these things, we need not just a personal response, but also as a fellowship, we're looking at that communal response as we look to our future. And we need to be looking for guidance. And perhaps some of us may also have had that experience of vulnerability when there's been a family breakup, as one has moved away, never again to be in touch. And you may sense that experience of the fears and challenges of abandonment, isolation, loneliness, and vulnerability. Jesus was telling his disciples that he would be leaving them. And in this conversation he's having, he is preparing them for their future. The disciples were being prepared to let Jesus go. They knew that they would experience loss because they would mourn him as both friend and teacher. But, he says in this passage, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not abandon you. I am coming to you. And he promises that he will ask the Father to give another advocate to be with you forever. And he is promising that the Holy Spirit will come to them. The word for Holy Spirit is paraclete, which means being called alongside. And what Jesus is saying to us is that he is promising to call the Holy Spirit to walk alongside us. Indeed, as we know that when we came to faith, that he has called us to be to come within us, to be our counselor, to speak for us as our advocate, and to strengthen us as our comforter, in that old-fashioned meaning of the word to comfort, to strengthen. And we know that the Holy Spirit first came to the disciples at Pentecost, which we will be celebrating in a couple of weeks' time, and that we have received that as we declared our faith as Christians and accepted Jesus as Lord. And because he's walking alongside us, he helps us to cope with the mess of our lives that we have made, and we need him now in our spirit. So God was present with the disciples through the Holy Spirit, and he helps them keep Jesus's commandments. As Jesus says in that first verse, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and we will keep his instructions. The instructions he has given us through his parables, through the gospel, through his teaching. And there is, as Jesus draws out in this passage, that link between our obedience to him because of his love for us and our love for him. So what is the present mess that we're in at the moment? The question that we're perhaps asking in our hearts, where is God in our coronavirus world? Is he present or absent? Humanity's perception may well be that we are on our own, and that sense for some that God has abandoned us. And certainly those who have no faith in God will say, well, where is your God in this situation? But God's reality is that he is with us always to the end of the age. He is with us by the presence of his Holy Spirit. He is with us to empower each of us to call on him in those times of vulnerability and fear. Some of you may have discovered that short book that I mentioned, John Lennox's book, where he explores the vulnerability of us in our world. And he's highlighting that, you know, there have, of course, been plagues before, but perhaps now there's a different reaction because we are living in a global village. We are interconnected. We have instant news about what's happening in the world. And indeed, the facility for our travel has caused the virus to spread rapidly. So as we consider where God is in our present situation, we might like to just reflect that as Christians, we believe God indeed is present with our situation. But to the atheist, for whom God is non-existent, and for the pantheist, for whom God is impersonal, there is no such assurance. And what God is saying to us within this time is that we should be reviewing and renewing our relationships with him and with one another. Because God will work through what we're experiencing. He will work directly through events. He will work indirectly through each of us. Because God works for good through pain and suffering, through either the natural events or the moral decisions made by others that cause broken relationships, and God is seeking to repair those through the strength of the Holy Spirit that he has sent to us. And the evidence of the presence of God is indeed through the love shown in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So we need to let God help and teach us to live with our current situation. And for many of us, it's been quite difficult. And last week, I went through quite a low spot, I think partly because of not knowing quite where the end is going to be. But we're beginning to see that. There is beginning to be that guidance that will lead us toward greater freedoms and greater recovery of the interactions, social interactions that we seek. So Jesus has promised to those who believe in him to receive that gift of eternal life. He says that he will never leave us or forsake us. And we need to hold in our faith that Jesus is a present reality, not just a past memory of the time that he appeared to the disciples and to the Christians of old, but that he is with us now through that promise of the Holy Spirit. In this passage, he has said that he will love us and reveal himself to us, and that through that mutual love of him for us and us for him, that he will enable us to keep those commandments, to be obedient to him, and to have that new life. Because as Jesus says here, that I am alive and you will live also. And we will live to this new spiritual life that we have through faith. Our eyes indeed are opened. Our minds indeed will understand more of what is happening in our world. And our hearts are open to share that love that Jesus has with us for those around us. And through the Holy Spirit, he leads us to share the hope that we have in that future that turns despair to light. So as God is revealed to us and to each other, perhaps that's been a time for us to think, as we have slowed up in our world, to see others and notice others around us, to take time for one another, to show care to each other, and to exercise that life that God has given us to build those new relationships. So Jesus emphasizes his love for us and ours for him. And we are bound in that relationship of love. And God, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has not forsaken or abandoned us. He has not left us orphans, as Jesus promised in that verse 18. And as I draw to a close, let us just remember that as his children, let us not forsake those who themselves feel abandoned and friendless. We are, after all, called to care for the orphans and widows in their distress. And we may be doing that locally in our support directly for our neighbours. And it's wonderful the response that we have in this village and elsewhere within our wider town community, seeing the support that we have through various volunteer groups for those in need. And we are also called to help those, and particularly our Christian brothers and sisters, who throughout the world are struggling because they are deemed in many countries to be at the bottom of the heap. And if you haven't already been able to do so, it's only just been the close of Christian Aid Week, and you can still contribute to the work of Christian Aid on their website, or perhaps you support the Barnabas Fund and Open Doors, all of which are helping those who are particularly struggling and as a consequence of their faith are not receiving the help that we would naturally assume that is ours, and it is ours to give. So let us think of those as we look to God's help for us, as we pray for his help for others. And when we come to the end of this service, there's an opportunity for us to carry on together, to share coffee and conversation as we look at this time that we've gone through over these last 7 or 8 weeks, to think about what we would want not to change, and how we would like to see our lives continue. So I hope that you can stay and remain and enjoy our conversation together at the end.